The epistle for the fourth Sunday of Easter is taken from the epistle of St. James, chapter 1. Dearly beloved, every best gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no change, nor shadow of alteration. For of his own will hath he begotten us by the word of truth, that we might be some beginning of his creatures. You know, my dearest brethren, and let every man be quick to hear, but slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man worketh not the justice of God. Wherefore, casting away all uncleanness and abundance of malice, with meekness receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. The Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 16. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, I go to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have spoken these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go. For if I go not, the Paraclete will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convince the world of sin, and of justice, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believed not in me. And of justice, because I go to the Father, and you shall see me no longer. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is already judged. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will teach you all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but what things soever he shall hear, he shall speak. The things that are to come he shall show you. He shall glorify me, because he shall receive of mine, and shall show it to you. Thus far are the words of today's Holy Gospel. And let every man be swift to hear, but slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man worketh not the justice of God. These words are taken from the epistle of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. One day a married couple went to their parish priest to seek his advice. See, after quite a few years of marriage, the husband and wife had fallen into a habit of quarreling with each other, constantly disagreeing, bickering with each other. So they went to their priest. And so the priest met with them individually. He first met with the wife. And she started in complaining that her husband knocked her about all day with disagreements, with arguments. Father, she said, all he does is disagree with me. He comes home and he complains. He says things just to get me upset. Now, the priest had known this couple for many years, and he knew that perhaps the source of the problem, the source for the arguments, was not always the husband. The priest then gave her some water in a little bottle. He said, here you are. This is miraculous water. You will find that it will put everything right. The wife took the bottle and she looked at it curiously. What do I do with it? She said. Do I sprinkle it on my husband? No, said the priest. All you have to do is keep some of the water in your mouth when things get a little heated. The husband came into the priest's office next. My wife, he said, as he began to explain to the priest, all she does is nag me. She doesn't understand how hard I work. She always starts an argument. She always makes me angry. The priest placed a bottle of water on the table. Here you are, he said. This is miraculous water. Whenever your wife starts nagging you, all you have to do is keep some of this water in your mouth. The husband took the bottle and he thought this an odd remedy. But on reflection, he saw the point the priest was trying to make. That perhaps the problem wasn't always his wife, but perhaps he was guilty as well. And that he added to the argument by answering her uncharitably. And the wife, too, she saw the point the good priest was making. That sometimes at the instigation of another, when anger rises in us, or those little impatiences when they come about, we may feel justified to snap back, as it were. The lesson, therefore, the priest was trying to teach the couple, was that we can easily become blinded, and so we shouldn't always blame others, but rather fight anger and impatience that will rise in us, to fight these with silence. And now, while this story is somewhat humorous, it does teach us a lesson. And it's a lesson not only for married couples. The characters in this story easily could have been switched out for work associates, brothers and sisters. It is a lesson for all who have the passion of anger. And my dear faithful, everyone has the passion of anger. Our divine Savior in his human nature, he even had the passion of anger. However, our Lord had perfect control over his passion. Anger did not control him or blind him, as so often happens to us. Now, anger is defined as a strong feeling of displeasure. A strong feeling of displeasure combined with a desire to punish the offender. As a passion, anger is something we have. It's part of our nature. In itself, it is neither good nor bad. However, anger can lead to good or bad. Our divine Savior used it for good when he drove the sellers from the temple. Anger rose in him, and to punish the offenders, he drove them out of the temple. But anger is very hard, very difficult for us to control. It is a very strong passion. And anger, as the story shows, it often blinds us. And we do not think right when we are angry. When we are angry, we tend to think of ourselves and how we have been offended, how we have been hurt. And then in order to correct this wrong which has happened to us, in order to punish the offender, we react with a sharp comment, by a look or attitude, rather than acting reasonably. And if we think about it, when we do get angry, we often act somewhat immaturely, somewhat childish, by our little comments and grudges sometimes. And this is giving into anger. Since anger is so blinding, it is often one of the chief sources of sin, meaning it is one of the chief reasons or origins, an origin of sin. And today, my dear faithful, anger, as we see in the world, is the cause of much of the violence in the world. In fact, revenge is often glorified in the world. For instance, in many movies glorify revenge in their heroes. The heroes become defenders of justice, so to speak, with violence, sometimes even murder. And the media, likewise, is filled with reporters, famous persons, politicians, celebrities, always trying to get back at each other, trying to ruin each other's name. And we therefore have this impression sometimes that revenge consists in murder, grave lawsuits, completely destroying another's reputation. But it's interesting, a certain author explains how revenge can sometimes be closer to home. Remember, it is trying to get back, trying to get even. For example, someone says something or does something that offends us, annoys us or bothers us. Anger then slightly rises in us, and we desire to correct this, to get back for this supposed evil. And if we do not turn from this temptation but give into it, we show it by harsh language, a clever retort, an attitude of disdain, or even a somewhat ironical or cold politeness. You see, revenge does not necessarily mean murder or destroying someone financially. Revenge can, in a small way, be gotten by how we treat another. One who has been offended may at times seek his or her revenge by an evident look of annoyance or disgust, by ignoring a certain individual, or by sneering remarks made under the breath. And if left unchecked, if we let this desire to get back brood inside, we can easily become blinded by it, which this is very detrimental to the soul, to the peace in our soul. Remember, my dear faithful, anger is a passion that we all have, and it is important that we examine ourselves at times, honestly and humbly, to see whether or not we allow anger to sometimes get the better of us. Because anger, if it's left unchecked, it can easily turn to hatred. And in turn, we let anger show, we can be hated as well. It will ruin the peace of our soul. We will not be at rest, constantly seeking a way to get even by that little remark. And my dear faithful, if we allow anger to control us by bearing grudges, by brooding, and even by impatience, we can create discord in our homes, in our workplaces. We can destroy that atmosphere of peace for others, perhaps even those closest to us, even for those that we love. And that is why St. James warns us in the epistle today. He realizes, he knows human nature. He knows how difficult it is to fight. And he tells us to be swift to hear, that is, swift to listen to others. But he warns us to be slow to speak. He is telling us to be careful and not to snap back with that small, uncharitable remark, not to let anger get the better of us. St. James says, be slow to anger. The reason he gives is that more often than not, our anger worketh not the justice of God as we might think it does. And so to combat this powerful passion, sometimes just realizing that we may have difficulty with anger, this is the battle half won. Just realizing that we might have a problem with it. In fact, we should arm ourselves before the actual battle by simply realizing and perhaps looking ahead in the morning, perhaps. Looking ahead to see what gets me upset. What makes anger rising? And then have a plan how to fight it. We should, of course, pray when we are tempted. For if we rely on ourselves and not God, we will most likely fall. And my dear faithful, it is very consoling to know that the saints had a fight against their anger as well. We can therefore call upon their assistance to help us when our patience is tried. St. Francis de Sales, he admitted, he said that he constantly fought against this great passion. For some, anger is stronger in some than it is in others. And St. Francis says it was very powerful in him. And yet we know him today as the saint of gentleness and meekness. St. Francis, realizing that anger was so powerful in him, he made this resolution. He said, "I have made an agreement with my tongue never to utter a word while my heart is excited, while I'm angry." And so, besides prayer, we must also do our part in holding our tongue, in taking a sip of that miraculous water, so to speak. When that temptation to snap back or even make that sly remark comes upon us. And if we keep silent, we will give ourselves time to pray, time to think and realize the consequences of our act, of our anger, even that little act of anger. My dear faithful, let us remember and imitate the gentleness and the meekness of our Savior after the resurrection with the apostles. Remember, the apostles abandoned our Savior when he was hanging and dying upon the cross for them. And when he appeared to them after the resurrection, he did not rebuke them. He did not ask them why they ran from him. But rather, when he appeared to them, he said, "Peace, peace be to you." He was gentle and meek. He forgave and he forgot their offense. And so, my dear faithful, let us, who are striving to be good Catholics, and who wish peace in our own hearts, and peace with those with whom we associate, let us follow the advice of St. James, and let us, as best as we are able, be slow to anger and slow to speak. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.